And back to politics. As New Hampshire voters cast their ballots in today's presidential primary, we're going to ask, where's the Tea Party? Remember them? Back in 2010, they stormed into Concord, with Tea Party-backed candidates winning a big majority of seats in both houses of the state legislature.
Back then, more than 4 in 10 of those who went to the polls expressed support for the movement. But today, the Tea Party's influence appears to be on the wane in New Hampshire. It failed to coalesce around a presidential candidate ahead of today's first-in-the-nation primary. So what happened?
So to talk more about what happened, we're joined by Jack Kimball. He's a leading Tea Party activist who was elected chair of the New Hampshire Republican Party in 2010 before resigning in September under pressure from the state's Republican establishment. Jack Kimball, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you.
Glad to be here.
So what's happened to the Tea Party in the Granite State in the past 14 months? We really haven't seen it leave its mark on the primary campaign season. Why not?
Well, I think it's leaving its mark, but it's a split mark. And basically what you have is that it's alive and well, I'll tell you, because I'm involved still. And we have a split about three or four different ways between three or four different conservative-oriented candidates. But clearly, if you look at the dynamic nationally, about 24-25% of the voters' Republican side of the fence are leaning toward Mitt Romney. That's been relatively consistent. But you've seen the rise and fall, if you will, of three or four different candidates that we consider to be more conservative. They're still looking. They're still looking for the one to coalesce behind. The problem you have is, with the first-in-the-nation primary, all these candidates have been working very hard. Most of them have been in the state a long time. And they have garnered some support from a lot of the Tea Party folks. And they tend to stick with these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to move unless they feel a real need to move. Herman Cain, I was behind Herman initially. He left the race. I then got behind Newt Gingrich. The point is, the same thing is happening with the rest of the Tea Party folks, but the difference is they're not out holding placards. They're not out protesting. They're the boots on the ground helping to get their candidates elected.
But let me ask you about this. We have seen a whole batch of national polls that have shown that nationally the Tea Party is in decline. And for the first time in New Hampshire, polls suggest that more than 50% of GOP voters in New Hampshire don't support the Tea Party. Doesn't that suggest that you guys are in decline and that your moment has passed? And if so, why?
No, I don't agree with that. And I think that what you saw in 2010, the item you discussed earlier,
sure.
I mean, we went 298 out of the 400 state rep
seats.
No,
it's astounding. It really is.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all five executive council seats. So that was an enormous victory. And the vast majority of the freshmen that came in were Tea Party-oriented people that many of them never ran for office before in their lives. Heck, I was one. So I think that it is alive and well. They're trying to find their place. You're going to see these people remain very active in this process. And I will say this, too. Regardless who wins the nomination, we will all coalesce behind whoever that person is.
Well, let me ask you about Newt Gingrich, who you said you've endorsed. Many say Ron Paul is sort of the original Tea Party candidate and what he stands for. But here in New Hampshire, his support is coming mostly from younger voters rather than Tea Party backers. Why Newt Gingrich? He's a 30-year political insider from inside the Beltway. That doesn't sound like a Tea Party type.
Well, it would seem strange. I mean, I agree with you. I think that but when you look through and you look at the history of the man, he's the only person that's running that actually has shrunk the size of government, came in with a $440 billion deficit, wound up balancing the budget 4 years in a row, and at the end of that, we had a surplus. Definitely reform welfare with a Democratic president. I think that's extremely important to note, that he knows how to get things done, and that takes both sides of the aisle working together. We certainly don't have that now.
Let me ask you one more question about Gingrich. We started our show talking about sort of what was going on with his very tough criticism of the front runner, Mitt Romney, around Bain Capital and the suggestion that Mitt Romney got rid of jobs in favor of profits. This is really tough stuff that arguably the Democrats are going to be able to use against Mitt Romney should he become the eventual nominee. Doesn't Newt Gingrich have a responsibility? And as a supporter, wouldn't you urge him to, hey, tone it down?
You know, I've been around Newt quite a bit lately, and he really tried extraordinarily hard to stay on the high road, keep the campaign positive. And you even saw during some of the debates, he wouldn't go after any of his counterparts in the party, didn't do it. And he kept kind of telling Mitt Romney, please, you got to stop this. Pull down the ad, or ask that the super PAC pull down those ads. They're inaccurate. There actually were lies in those ads. I think, and unfortunately, negative ads work.
Yeah,
they shouldn't. I think people should do their own homework and check out the.
We saw them work in Iowa against Newt Gingrich.
They did, and that's the point. I think Newt just decided, look, I feel strongly he should become the president. He feels strongly about it too. He's taking the gloves off.
Let me come back to the legislative agenda here in New Hampshire. Very much in the hands of a lot of those Tea Partiers who were elected back in 2010. We've seen efforts to repeal gay marriage, to allow guns on university campuses. New Hampshire voters are famously moderate, particularly on social issues. So I just want to ask you if this very conservative legislative agenda is in sync with the New Hampshire population at large.
I think it is now. And I think that if this was 4, 5, 6 years ago, probably not. But you've had an influx of libertarian-oriented people and also free staters that come into the state of New Hampshire, and also a real conservative thrust into politics here in New Hampshire. And I think that it's going to continue. We'll see how this plays out, mm-hmm. because, quite frankly, the primary is going to be an indicator of how strong or weak the conservative movement is going to turn out being.
So where does the Tea Party go in New Hampshire from here? Very quickly, we have about 10 seconds left.
We need to work hard to get a Republican president, of course. That's our goal. But also a Republican governor. The Tea Party movement is going to work hard to maintain the majorities in both the state rep situations and state Senate. But we're also going to work extraordinarily hard to get a Republican governor elected. That's very important, and to close out the deal, which we didn't close out.
All right, Jack Kimball, he's a businessman and a former state chairman of the Republican Party in New Hampshire. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.